This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, August 12th, 2022. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to KUAF, your public radio station since 1985. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics, ready to help us wrap up another week of news. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Again, thanks for having me.
Well, let's pick up with traffic at the Fort Smith Regional Airport. We know that the pandemic has hit airports hard. And while it's not back to where it was before the pandemic, there's more activity going on.
Yes, it's coming back. And it's had a kind of a surprising increase. I knew it was going to come back, but through the first 7 months of this year, it's got a little over 35,000 enplanements. That's up almost 25% compared to 21, which was a recovery year. And just kind of really to set the stage, you might pull back a little bit. In 2019, the airport was kind of, it was on a about a 6 or 7 year growth trend. In 2019, had a little over 95,000 enplanements. And then, as we know, the world came to a halt in 2020 and enplanements dropped down to just under 39,000. I mean, that was a considerable drop off. Last year, enplanements for the entire year was just a little over 47,000. So, yeah, it's a slow recovery. The total through that first 7 months of 2022 is still down about 52% compared with where it was at the same time in 2019. So there's still obviously some recovery. And look, Fort Smith, we could say the same thing about just about any other airport in the country, except maybe for X and A, which is kind of a unique airport in terms of the market it serves. But it's not unusual to, you know, see these trends as we were seeing in Fort Smith. For example, through May, which is the latest data the U.S. Department of Transportation has, enplanements through the U.S. were up just a little over 31% compared to the same period in 2021. So it's coming up around the country, and hopefully it'll continue. I think also this week, the Department of Transportation announced that the airport will receive a $155,000 grant to help it support a new connection. You know, right now the only connection out of Fort Smith is to DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. In July 2020, Delta discontinued their flights between Fort Smith and Atlanta, so Fort Smith has just kind of been a one-trick pony in terms of connections. The grant could give them a connection to Chicago O'Hare or another Northeast hub. That's what they're hoping for. I talked to Airport Director Michael Griffin. He said that the earliest that would happen would be 2023 because there's just a lot to work out. And as we know, there's some staffing shortages in the industry. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get that or how quickly they can get that ginned up. And they're primarily going to be working with American Airlines, which is providing the service now between Fort Smith and DFW.
And X&A is using a similar grant to try to get nonstop to San Francisco back.
Yep, trying to get that West Coast connection back. So, you know, as we all know, X&A is driven by a much different market. It's primarily Walmart vendor traffic. Obviously serves a market area that's in terms of population is twice the size of Fort Smith. But again, Fort Smith, you hated to see the pandemic hit for many reasons, but it really just put a kink in the growth that the regional airport had been seeing for the last 6-7 years.
We have higher interest rates than we did a little bit ago. Inflation and economic concerns are still there. Not surprisingly, that may be taming home sales across the nation a little bit, including in the River Valley.
Yeah, we're seeing it across the board. And this is one of those things, you know, we've talked about, you and I have talked about building permit gains in the area, sales tax gains that just keep going up kind of surprisingly. This is one metric that's kind of doing what we thought it would, which was just kind of would moderate somewhat. And the Fort Smith metro area is no different again than other metro areas. Just the past few years, it's been on quite a burn in terms of gains and home sales. Really, you know, it's been a good time to be a realtor. in the Fort Smith metro. But home sales through June, they're down 4.4%, and that's a little bit more than the increase of the 3.3% decline that we saw through April. But on the upside of that is the value of those sales was a little over almost $424 million, and that was up almost 10% compared to with the same time last year. So the number obviously is down, but the value of those homes are up. And that metric is best quantified in the fact that the average home price for all home sales in the metro for the first 6 months was just a little over $217,000. And that was up almost 15%. So people are still paying more for homes, but I think that's going to continue to moderate also. And just by way of comparison, the National Association of Realtors reported that existing home sales fell over 14% in June compared with June 2021. So this, as we noted, it's a trend, trend across the board, but they are moderating, but they're slowing down. Let's keep this in mind, some perspective. They're slowing down from what was a pretty robust period in 2021. So they were up against some pretty tough comparisons to begin with.
You know, you can be an election observer for decades and still get surprised. There was a city primary in Fort Smith this week for an at-large position. Boy, that one snuck up on me. I don't know how I didn't know this was going to happen, but there was a city primary.
Yeah, this is one of the oddities of Fort Smith city government. And if we wanted to talk about the other oddities, we would need a couple more hours just for the summary. This is one of them. I have to think that if you put smart people in a room, they could come up with a better system. But this is the system we've got in terms of how they elect seven people to serve on the Fort Smith Board of Directors. So the way it works is if more than three people file for a seat, there has to be a runoff, a primary, what they call a primary election. And that primary is on August, usually the second Tuesday in August. And then if someone doesn't get 50.1%, then the top two folks will go to the November election. So that's the system we have. And so of the four positions up this year, only one of them had three people apply, and that was the at-large position five seat. And so Christina Katsavas and the incumbent city director Robin Dawson were the top two vote getters. Christina Katsavas received most of the votes, but she didn't get over 50.1%. So those two will face each other. Katsavas is definitely the new kid on the block. She's 37 coming in. She's the owner of a jewelry company. And then of course Dawson is a former public school teacher, has been on the board. Now is finishing up a 4-year term. So it'll be interesting to see if the vote trend continues, we may have a new member on the board come November.
So let me get this straight. If one of those three or more candidates in the city primary does get more than 50.1%, then they've won the seat and their race would not be in November.
That you got it.
That is an oddity.
They didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I'm kind of being facetious, but it almost sounds like someone decided, let's figure out the most complicated way to do this and let's do it that way.
Finally, there is a new person in charge at the U.S. Marshals Museum coming to Northwest Arkansas from a museum in Davenport, Iowa.
Yes, Mr. Ben Johnson will begin August 22nd. Unfortunately, the former museum CEO, Patrick Weeks, continues to he still faces two felony charges. Back in March, he had a little run-in with some utility workers in Fort Smith, and he was inebriated and waved a gun at him, and that's apparently not a good thing. So he was he's no longer there. So Mr. Johnson comes in, And Mr. Johnson comes in at a pretty interesting time. They're in the process of getting their exhibits in place, and hopefully they will, you know, their hope is that by February or March of 2023, they will have the exhibits installed, and then ideally the museum could open after that. You know, we've talked, this has been a pretty arduous process to get the money raised to get this museum open. It began in early 2007, and they were hoping it would just be a, you know, 5 to 10 year effort, and it's been considerably longer. So Mr. Johnson, he may get the opportunity to be the one to be the head of the museum when it does finally open.
All right. You can read about all of this, so much more, at talkbusiness.net. Michael, and we should mention that the Talk Business and Politics 40 Under 40 event is coming up. You're going to be honoring 40 young people who are making a difference.
Yes, next Tuesday, 16th, and great event with Martine Pollard. The great Martine Pollard is our main speaker, but it'll be at the C-Suites in Rogers. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir.